Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast, or it's simpler to use a computer or a smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for the show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, Radio Havana Cuba, France 24, and NHK World Radio Japan. We will begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. Following the massacre of 137 people in Russia at a concert, the so-called ISIS-K claimed responsibility. But Putin and his government believe that they were commissioned by Ukraine and the United States. On Monday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution calling for the release of hostages and a ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S. abstained from vetoing the unanimous decision, much to the Israeli disappointment. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Now to Russia, and after initially pointing the finger at Ukraine, President Vladimir Putin now says radical Islamists carried out Friday's attack on a concert hall near Moscow in which at least 137 people were killed. The Russian president's statement comes days after repeated claims of responsibility by ISIS-K. ISIS-K is a branch of the so-called Islamic State based in Afghanistan, and their claims have been borne out by French and US intelligence sources. So let's hear a bit of what the Russian president had to say.
We know the crime was committed by radical Islamists who follow an ideology the Islamic world itself has been fighting for centuries. We're also seeing that the United States has been using various channels to convince their satellites and other countries that, according to their intelligence, there's no trace of Kyiv in the terror attack in Moscow. The bloody attack was committed by Islamists from the Islamic State organization, which is banned in Russia. We know who committed this crime against Russia and its people. We want to know who ordered it.
One after another, the suspects are dragged into a court in the Russian capital. Investigators say all of them have confessed to carrying out Friday's attack inside a Moscow concert hall. Videos have emerged on social media suggesting some of the group were tortured while in custody. One of them brought in directly from hospital in a wheelchair. All 4 suspects are now facing terrorism charges and a possible sentence of 15 years to life in prison.
So let's pick up parts of that with Russia analyst Konstantin Eggert. Welcome back, Konstantin. Now, you watched Vladimir Putin's speech today, all of it. What did you make of it?
Well, the interesting thing is that just basically a few minutes you went on air, Phil. There was another report by the Russian state media that head of Russia's investigative committee, Alexander Bastrykin, investigative committees, well, the kind of Russian equivalent of the FBI for the sake of simplicity, reported directly to Putin and said that all those detained, or arrested rather, now by the Russian authorities have confessed to the crime, as he said, and they revealed those who contracted or commissioned this crime. So this chimes in with what Putin said earlier, that although the crime was committed, the act was committed by ISIS, by the Islamists, he wants to know who was behind it. And the hint in such speeches by Russian officials generally and Putin in particular is that, of course, it may be ISIS as executors of the terrorist atrocity, but in fact there are others behind it. And Putin repeatedly hinted that it was Kyiv and the United States that support Kyiv, that were behind it. So I think that the report by the head of Russia's FBI to Putin just means that the Russian government, although notionally saying, yes, it was ISIS, no problem, we admit it, will continue to push the idea that it was, in fact, an Ukrainian attack on Russian citizens. And I suppose we'll see more of these pronouncements very, very soon.
The UN Security Council has passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza for the first time. The breakthrough comes after the United States abstained from the vote after vetoing previous efforts over the last 5 months. The resolution also demanded the immediate release of all hostages still being held by Hamas, the group that committed the October 7 terror attacks against Israel.
The draft resolution has been adopted as resolution.
Applause hailed a milestone moment at the United Nations Security Council. 14 nations voted in favour of the resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza for the first time. The United States refrained from vetoing the agreement, instead abstaining. Directly opposing a request from Israel not to do so.
This resolution rightly acknowledges that during the month of Ramadan, we must recommit to peace. Hamas can do that by accepting the deal on the table. A ceasefire can begin immediately with the release of the first hostage. And so we must put pressure on Hamas to do just that.
Israel's planned invasion of Rafah is causing major concerns for the US, its biggest ally. An Israeli delegation was due to travel to Washington this week to discuss alternatives. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called off the trip after the Security Council's decision. And Israel's Defense Minister, Yoav Gallant, already in the US, shows no signs of acknowledging the ceasefire call.
We have no moral right to stop the war in Gaza until we return all the hostages home. If we do not reach a clear and decisive decision in Gaza, it may bring us closer to war in the north.
In Gaza, the Security Council vote brought some hope to many.
This marks a crucial step towards halting Israel's actions. The U.S. must leverage all of its resources as it's both the primary and ultimate advocate for Israel.
While the ceasefire vote brought hope in Gaza, without Israel's support, it may end up being a symbolic gesture rather than a practical solution for peace.
Israel says it'll stop working with the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Gaza Strip. A government spokesperson accused UNRWA of perpetuating the conflict rather than trying to relieve it. UNRWA was criticized after Israel accused some of its staff of being involved in the Hamas October 7 terror attack.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary, as well as most podcast sites, as is the Shortwave Report. Next, Radio Havana, Cuba. Hamas denounced the international silence on the continuing attacks on and destruction of hospitals in Gaza. UN Secretary General Guterres spoke in Egypt, saying the only way to reduce the famine occurring in Gaza is to allow the relief trucks in, and calling for an immediate ceasefire and release of hostages. Venezuela has created a High Commission on Fascism to be presented as a bill of the United Nations. In 1990, the United States government began transmissions of anti-Cuba propaganda called Radio and TV Marti. A British court ruled that Julian Assange cannot be extradited to the United States without a guarantee that he will receive First Amendment rights and will not face the death penalty. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has denounced the international community over its shameful silence on the Israeli military's raid against Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital, where thousands of displaced Palestinians are sheltering. The Gaza-based group said in a statement that the ongoing Israeli aggression against the hospital indicates the international community and the United Nations' moral failure, who are not capable of pressuring Israel's traditional ally, the United States, to stop sending arms to the occupying regime. Quote, "The shameful silence on the situation of the Al-Shifa hospital complex in Gaza City and those trapped inside represents a disgrace and a moral failure on the part of the international community and the United Nations. They are unable to stop Zionist killing machine and pressure Washington to stop this partnership and support with arms exports to the occupying regime," the statement said.
The United Nations General Secretary Antonio Guterres has said the only effective and efficient way to deliver heavy goods to meet Gaza's humanitarian needs is by road and includes an exponential increase in commercial deliveries. Speaking during his visit to Egypt on Sunday, Guterres also warned of the impact of Israel's months-long war on Gaza was having around the globe. Guterres repeated his call for an immediate ceasefire to alleviate the plight of Palestinian children, women and men struggling to survive the nightmare in famine-threatened Gaza.
"Now more than ever, it is time for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. It is time to silence the guns. Palestinians in Gaza, children, women, men, remain stuck in a non-stop nightmare. Communities obliterated, homes demolished, entire families and generations wiped out, with hunger and starvation stalking the population. It is time for an ironclad commitment by Israel for total and fettered access for humanitarian goods throughout Gaza. And in the Ramadan spirit of compassion, it is also time for the immediate release of all hostages. And I want Palestinians in Gaza to know you are not alone. People around the world are outraged by the horrors we are all witnessing in real time. It is our only hope. It's time to truly flood Gaza with life-saving aid. The choice is clear, either search or starvation. Let's choose the side of help, the side of hope, and the right side of history."
Venezuelan Executive Vice President Delcy Rodriguez announced this Sunday that at the instruction of the head of state, Nicolas Maduro, the High Commission of State Against Fascism and Neo-Fascism has been created. In a message disseminated through the social network X, the vice president detailed that the new commission will present to the United Assembly, the United Nations, a bill against fascism and all neo-fascist expressions in the exercise of politics and national life. The vice president added that the decision is adopted, quote, "in view of the facts of violence that the country experienced in 2014, 15 and 17, unquote, when the Guarimbas were incited from abroad to provoke a change of government by non-peaceful means, a destabilization that would have been a prelude to the declaration of Venezuela as a failed state and foreign military invention." Delcy Rodriguez recalled that in 2015, extremist factors took over the parliament, quote, "to strip Venezuela of its resources and create internal destabilization that had serious consequences for the country's economy, sovereignty, and territorial integrity," unquote. Another lawless important factor considered for the creation of the High Commission was, quote, "the international situation, whose peace and stability are threatened by neo-fascist expressions festering in centers of power in the service of the global north." Vice President Rodriguez stressed that neither fascism nor neo-Nazism will raise its head in Venezuela. The creation of this High Commission takes place in the midst of investigations by the Venezuelan Attorney General's office on new conspiracy plans to assassinate President Nicolas Maduro, who has been nominated by several political forces that make up the Great Patriotic Poll as a candidate for the presidential elections of July 28th. Earlier, Attorney General Tariq William Saab rejected these violent attempts by part of the opposition and ratified the commitment of the Attorney General's office to guarantee an environment of peace and security during the 2024 electoral process.
On this date in 1990, the U.S. government began transmissions of TV Marti from Miami, Florida. Financed by the federal government of the United States through the U.S. Agency for Global Media and paid for by U.S. taxpayers, whether they wanted to pay for it or not, TV Marti, along with Radio Marti, which went on the air in May of 1985, designed to broadcast false news, today known as fake news, and sends provocative messages to anyone on the island who can pick up its transmissions. For the most part, Radio y TV Marti cannot be picked up in Cuba, and its multi-million dollar budget is providing money for right-wing anti-Cuban terrorist activities in Miami. For a radio station and a television signal that no one hears or sees.
A British court ruled Tuesday that Julian Assange can't be extradited to the United States on espionage charges unless U.S. authorities guarantee he won't get the death penalty, giving the WikiLeaks founder a partial victory in his long legal battle over the site's publication of classified American documents. Two high court judges said they would grant Assange a new appeal unless U.S. authorities give further assurances within 3 weeks about what will happen to him. The ruling means the legal saga, which has dragged on for more than a decade, will continue, and Assange will remain inside London's high-security Belmarsh prison, where he has spent the last 5 years. Judges Victoria Sharp and Jeremy Johnson said the U.S. must guarantee that Assange, who is Australian, quote, is afforded the same First Amendment protections as a United States citizen and that the death penalty is not imposed, unquote. The judges said that if the U.S. files new assurances, we will give the parties an opportunity to make further submissions before we make a final decision on the application for leave to appeal. The judges said a hearing will be held March the 20th if the U.S. makes those submissions. Assange's supporters say he is a journalist protected by the First Amendment who exposed U.S. military wrongdoing in Iraq and Afghanistan that was in the public interest. They have argued his prosecution is politically motivated and he can't get a fair trial in the U.S. Assange's wife Stella Assange said the WikiLeaks founder, quote, is being persecuted because he exposed the true cost of war in human lives.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well at radiohc.cu, but there's no podcast. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, or 6100. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Daylight Saving Time. On to France 24. First, a speech by Stella Assange, wife of Julian, given after the judge's ruling in the case on Tuesday. Then a brief synopsis of what Assange says was the purpose of WikiLeaks. France 24.
I find this astounding. 5 years into this case, the United States has managed to show the court that their case remains an attack on press freedom, an attack on Julian's life. What the courts haven't agreed to look at is the evidence that the United States has plotted to assassinate Julian, to kidnap him, because if it acknowledges that, then, of course, he can't be sent to the United States. Julian is a political prisoner. He is a journalist, and he is being persecuted because he exposed the true cost of war in human lives. This case is a retribution. It is a signal to all of you that if you expose the interests that are driving war, they will come after you. They will put you in prison and they will try to kill you. Julian is just a few days away from the fifth anniversary of his arrest and imprisonment in Belmarsh prison. He has been in Belmarsh for 5 years without conviction, and the charges against him are to punish him for publishing the truth, for publishing evidence of the war crimes committed by the country that is trying to extradite him. Now, the UK courts have invited the United States to issue assurances. The Biden administration should not issue assurances. They should drop this shameful case that should never have been brought. Julian should never have been imprisoned for a single day. This is a shame on every democracy. Julian is a political prisoner. He is a publisher, and he is being punished for expressing his political opinion, for expressing freedom of the press in its purest form. Free Julian. I ask everyone to rally behind him and call for his freedom, call for the Biden administration to drop the case and support House Resolution 934 before the U.S. Congress to drop this case. Thank you.
In an interview with the Spiegel magazine in 2015, Julian Assange sort of summed up what WikiLeaks is when he said WikiLeaks is a giant library of the world's most persecuted documents. We give asylum to these documents. We analyze them, we promote them, and we obtain more. So that's basically the crux of what they do. Now, WikiLeaks does have global partners, global media partners right around the world, and these include media organizations right from the Associated Press in the United States to El País in Spain, Le Monde here in France, Libération, Mediapart, as well as English dailies, including The Guardian and The New York Times. Now, WikiLeaks really came into the spotlight in 2010. That's 4 years after the company was founded, when they released video from a U.S. military helicopter, and it basically showed civilians being killed from this military helicopter. Then, of course, that same year, we had the leaks from the U.S. Intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning. This involved thousands of leaked documents, and they showed that hundreds of civilians had been killed at the hands of the U.S. military in unreported incidents during the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. So naturally, these are leaks which cast the army of the most powerful country in the world in a very negative spotlight. Assange and many journalists around the world would argue that they were simply shedding a light on abuses by the United States. However, lawyers for the Department of Justice didn't see it that way. They called the leaks the largest compromises of classified information in U.S. history.
Those reports were from France 24. France 24 may be easily found at their website, france24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English, and most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could help support this listener-funded program, PayPal contact information is available at my website, outfarpress.com, or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Your donations are essential for the weekly production and distribution of this show, which is supplied without cost to more than 100 radio stations across the globe. We will conclude with NHK Japan. Japanese defense forces are being trained on a U.S. destroyer to use the 400 U.S.-made Tomahawk cruise missiles they are purchasing. Taiwan has finished building 6 warships dubbed aircraft carrier killers. China has filed a complaint at the World Trade Organization over U.S. government tax incentives for buyers of electrical cars. People in India are protesting the incarceration of a key opposition leader before the general election. NHK Japan.
Members of the media have been invited to watch Japanese Self-Defense Force personnel undergo basic training on Tomahawk cruise missiles. The 5-day training period began on Monday. About 20 SDF personnel are taking part in the course on board a U.S. Aegis destroyer at anchor at the Yokosuka Naval Base south of Tokyo. A U.S. Navy official explained the SDF personnel were getting hands-on experience learning about the basic launch procedures for a Tomahawk. The training comes after Japan signed a contract earlier this year to buy up to 400 Tomahawks from the U.S. It's part of measures by Tokyo to beef up its counter-strike capabilities against enemy missile sites and other targets. Taiwan's response to growing military pressure from China is picking up pace. It recently delivered two more domestically built warships to the Navy, far ahead of schedule. Local media have dubbed the ships aircraft carrier killers. The twin-hulled vessels can move stably at high speed. They're equipped with anti-ship and anti-aircraft missiles, and they employ stealth technology that makes them difficult for enemy radar to detect. The two vessels are the fifth and sixth of their type to be handed over to the Navy. Taiwan has been rushing to produce large numbers of the relatively small vessels. Tuesday's delivery was 20 months early. A special five-year budget was passed 2 years ago to pay for the ships from a local shipbuilder. It plans to build five more of these carrier killers by 2026.
China has filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization over U.S. government tax incentives for buyers of electric vehicles. China's Ministry of Commerce announced a move on Tuesday. The ministry says it opposes the U.S. measure as it has seriously distorted the global supply chain and violates WTO rules. U.S. President Joe Biden's administration introduced the tax credits based on the Inflation Reduction Act enacted in 2022. EVs have to undergo final assembly in North America to qualify for the tax breaks. Eligible models must also meet critical mineral and battery component requirements. Some say the tax credit program is aimed at removing Chinese businesses from the supply chain.
People in India have rallied to protest the arrest of a key opposition leader just weeks before general elections.
About 500 protesters took part in a rally on Saturday following the arrest of Arvind Kejriwal, leader of the Aam Aadmi Party. Kejriwal is chief minister of Delhi. He was arrested on Thursday in connection with corruption allegations related to the city's liquor policy. Kejriwal has been a fierce critic of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's handling of the national government.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan. On shortwave, they are heard at 10 p.m. at 11735 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You do have to look harder these days because of U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. On my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online support. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 27th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 26 years, the Shortwave Report has been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. While I'm recuperating from spinal surgery, I'm staying in a house that is connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.